God wants to do tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings. And then it talks about some other things that God has set in the church. And I've been saying, we want what God has set in the church. Amen? There's a lot of things that man puts in the church that God never intended to be in the church. And a lot of times we leave out what God wants to be in the church. This is God's plan. This is what God has established or appointed or set in the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers. But look at the next thing. After that, miracles and gifts of healings. That's something that God has set in the church. That means that miracles and gifts of healing shouldn't be some once-in-a-lifetime thing. It should be the normal operation of the church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And really, that's talking about the apostle. He says, first apostles. Apostles, that's a ministry gift, isn't it? Prophets is a ministry gift. Teachers is a ministry gift. Well, he didn't all of a sudden change and start talking about something different. He just uses a different terminology to describe the next ministry gift, which is evangelist. When he says miracles and gifts of healings, he's describing the ministry of evangelists. We were in here praying Saturday evening, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And he said, the job is easy when you have the right tool. Praise God. I knew what he meant when he said that. I knew immediately what he meant by that is that we need all the ministry gifts to get the job done. Now, God can use any believer, amen, in miracles and healings, certainly. We all can be used by God. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Yet, on the other side of that is, there are ministry gifts that God has appointed in the church, and he has equipped those. And when those individuals stand in that anointing and stand in that office of ministry, and minister with that gift that God's placed on the inside of them, then the result is miracles and gifts of healings. Hallelujah. And that tool is with us this week. Brother Ted stands in that office of evangelist. Hallelujah. And miracles and gifts of healings accompany that office. Well, we're not looking to him like, you know, Brother Hagin used to say, I can't heal a gnat's wing or a fly's eyeball in my own ability. But he's not ministering in his own ability tonight. He's going to stand and minister in that gift and anointing that God has placed on his life. So that's what I want you to see tonight. It's coming from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. Amen. He has appointed. God has appointed these in the church. So let's receive what God has appointed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open your heart and let's receive the ministry tonight. Brother Ted, come on. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, are you happy tonight? Hallelujah. It's going to be a good night. Can you shout amen? I'm excited. We had a wonderful service today from 12 to 1. If you were here to be able to make it and be a part of that, man, we had an awesome time. We're going to be continuing again tomorrow and Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. And we're talking about how to take delivery of the blessings of God or how to steadily increase until the coming of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a lot of believers in America right now. They're frustrated because they keep hearing that they're supposed to be increasing. They keep hearing that things are supposed to be getting better, better, better. But no one's ever told them how to get there. And so we're looking through some things in the Word of God. It's going to show us how. I made the example today. I said, it would be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it, if you were in a house that you owned that was a two-story house, and if you just stood on that bottom level and just lifted your hands, I just believe I'm on that second level. I just thank you, Lord, I'm on that second. Oh, my God, I'm on the second level. And you look around, and you're still on the first level. Well, if you want to get to the second level, you know what you got to do is take the steps. And there are steps in the Word of God that'll take you up to another level. Can you say amen? And so we're endeavoring to look into the Word and see what God said about how to get up to another level in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, I have those are some of my favorite times because we get into that atmosphere of faith and people are just built up and you can feel the strength of it. Hallelujah. And I'm excited. Tonight's going to be a powerful night in the Holy Ghost and I feel the anointing here already. And so I'll tell you what I feel to do. I'm going to have Pastor come back up in just a moment. But we're going to receive the offering at the beginning so that when we hit the end, we're not going to have, I feel like we're going to have ministry time and we're not going to get out of here. We're just going to be ministering. Amen. But listen, I want to show you something. The Lord's been speaking to me real quick in Genesis 26. Flip over to Genesis 26. You can bring this mic back down a little bit. And just a little bit. That was good. Thank you. Genesis 26, the Lord impressed this on my heart, and I want you to hear this phrase. Say this with me. I control my seasons. Say it again. I control my seasons. Many people, if you watch Christian TV at all, there's always some televangelist or somebody on a telethon somewhere telling you, if you'll sow $672, then there's a 672-month anointing that's coming on your house, and you're going to have this and that. And if you watch it long enough, you know, you'll see these things that, you know, there's always a $278 seed that'll take you into 278. I actually had a nationally known evangelist. He sent a letter to my house, and he said, if you'll sow X amount of dollars, there's a 12-month healing anointing that'll come on your life. And I thought, well, I didn't know the anointing had an expiration date. Amen. And so you have to understand that there's people, they'll stand on television and declare over you, I declare it's a new season. I prophesy a new season. But the thing is, nobody can give you a new season except your own diligence and obedience. Somebody shout amen. I can't stand up here. Let me just give you a practical example. I can sit here and prophesy to you until I'm blue in the face. You're coming out of the curse. You're in a new season. But if you stay and refuse to tithe and give offering, I can prophesy all I want, but you won't stay. You won't go to the place where God's called you to go. And so your new season is not controlled necessarily by some outside force that pushes you, and you've got nothing to do with it. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, my God, it's a new season today. No, no. In fact, it is your own action in the Holy Ghost. Now, I talked today about this. We cannot be proactive when it comes to taking a hold of our destiny because we're not the ones that originate the power of the destiny. We've got to be reactive, which means we react to a word the Holy Ghost gives us. And when the Holy Ghost speaks a word into your heart, then you now can react to that instruction, and it takes you into a new level or new season in the kingdom. And so what we have to have is a word. Pastor brought out a very specific point the other day. I believe it was in the morning as we were sowing. The Bible says, let every man decide within his heart how much he shall give. And I do believe there are times that you should do that. But think about this thought for a moment with me. Think about the fact, how many believe that God has a specific purpose for your life? How many believe that? Well, the Lord was dealing with me in the spirit about this the other day. He said to me this. Now, think about it in a progression. He said, if I have a specific purpose for you, that means in order to carry it out, you need specific resources for the specific purpose. He said, and if you need specific resources, that means you need a specific harvest from me. Woo, hallelujah. And he said, if that's the case, then you need a specific instruction to sow a specific seed to get your specific harvest, to get your specific resources to fulfill your specific purpose. Which means that I believe, and I know your pastors do as well because they're spirit people, that everything we do should be led by the Spirit of God. And one of the things that really hit me over the last couple of years is how much, if you look over the body of Christ, how much it's evident that people don't care to seek the Lord on specific decisions in their life. This is why we've got college students that are supposedly filled with the Holy Ghost in university changing their major 3 and 4 times. You know why? They've never inquired of the Lord what their purpose is. So they're floundering. What should I do? Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? And they don't know because they haven't got a word from the Holy Ghost. Now, you begin to realize if your purpose is as important as the Bible teaches it is, then we have to do everything we can to acquire the resources of heaven to fulfill our purpose. Hallelujah. That's why my wife and I are very specific. We don't do anything without the leading of the Holy Ghost. And we say, Lord, in order for us to increase, now we do set a goal and say, now, Lord, every year we're going to sow more than we did last year. I will never come to the point where I file my taxes and find out I did less for God this year than I did last year. No, our desire should be to do more for the kingdom. But see, here's the thing. We need a word from the Lord. Can you shout amen? That's why I'll tell you, my wife will tell you, I mention this a lot, but that's why I'm not one of those guys that'll ever stand up and say this to you. I was watching a program the other day, and a guy said on television, I had to jump up, turn the channel, it really bugged me. He said, now, if you'll sow a $66 seed. Now, this is what he said on the TV station. If you sow a $66 seed, and then he went and unfold all these prophetic things that would happen. I got to thinking about that, and I thought to myself, well, you know what? I said, even if I did sow a $66 seed, it wouldn't take one bit of faith for me to sow that. Somebody shout amen. It wouldn't take one bit of faith for me to release $66 into the kingdom of God. And if God is only pleased with faith, then anything we do for the kingdom that's not mixed with faith is not pleasing to God. God can't honor anything other than what? Faith. And so everything we do in the kingdom has to be done by faith. That's why I believe when God gives you an instruction to sow, he will tell you to do something that takes faith on your part. Because he wants to be pleased by what you do. And here in this Genesis 26, God speaks to Isaac, Abraham's son. And in verse 1, he says, now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him. Now see, here comes the instruction from the Lord. And he said, don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land, I'll tell you. Sojourn to this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. And for you and to your offspring, I will give these lands and establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. So if you jump down to verse 12, look what happens. And Isaac sowed in that land. In what land? The land God told him to go to. And in a time of famine, the Bible says. In a time that looked uncomfortable for him. It didn't look like a seed sowing time. It looked like a holding back time, a storing up time. But God said, I'm going to activate your faith and see if you'll obey an instruction from me. And if you will, I will do what I said I would do. Hallelujah. And see, what Isaac didn't realize here was God was giving him the authority to control his own seasons. Woo, glory to God. Because let me tell you the flip side of this. When nobody else was reaping, when it was time to reap, Isaac was reaping. Oh, hallelujah. You know, inside, we touched on this today. Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says, there is a blessing that goes along with being a godly man or woman. You know what the blessing is? You'll bear fruit in every season. Hallelujah. You'll bear fruit in every season. And the Bible says, and the Lord blessed him in that land, and the man became rich, and he gained more until he became very wealthy. The Bible says he reaped 100-fold and had possessions of flocks and herds and servants. And look at this, and the Philistines envied him. Woo, glory to God. I tell you, it's time for the people of this world to envy the people of God. Somebody lift your hands and say, yes, it is. It's time for the people of this world. I mentioned it, city on a hill. We're talking about city on a hill church. Bible says we're set, a city set on a hill, which means that the world should be looking up at us, not looking down on us. Woo, glory to God. And it's time for God's people to activate the anointing and to be envied by the spirit of this world. Because look what happens here. And this is Old Testament. Not better promises, not a better covenant. It's the old covenant. Look what this says. And, verse 16, Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we are. The King James or the NIV says, you've become too powerful for us. Woo, hallelujah. So what I'm telling you is that there comes a time in your life through your obedience, through your seed sowing, God can enrich you to the point where you are too great for your enemies. Which means there's nothing the devil can throw at you that you cannot deflect by the power of God. Woo, hallelujah. You know, it's very clear. You all know the scripture. The Bible says money answers all things. Now, money doesn't give you happiness, but money is an answer to all natural things. And we were just getting ready with my cousin. My cousin was holding a meeting in the middle of Philadelphia. Nice Town Park, the most dangerous place in the inner city. I mean, it was extremely dangerous. Murders. It was in the top 10 most violent cities in America. We were just there in August. And do you know, when we went to get the permit to do the meeting in the park, they told us, if you want the permit, the cost for the permit will be $8,000 for the 6 days you'll be there. But then when they found out, see, there's crooked people in government. There's crooked people that are controlled. I'm telling you, you don't believe me. I promise you there's crooked people. That when they found out we were a Christian organization putting on a Christian event, you know what the cost? They came back to us and said, yeah, if you still want that permit, the cost has gone up to $48,000. So if you want to go from 8,000, they that's called extortion, in case you don't know what that is. And so they bumped it from 8,000 up to 48,000. You know what my cousin told him? What do you want, cash or check? Hallelujah. Cash or check. Because you ain't stopping us. You ain't holding us back. We are the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. And money answers all things. To the point when they try to push you back and hold you back, they will come to the realization, please go away. You are too powerful for us. Woo, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. There comes a time you can control your own seasons. How do you do it? By your obedience to the Holy Ghost. It's interesting to me. I'll say this, and then Pastor will come. He'll give you instruction. But listen, my wife and I have made, and by the way, stand up. This is my beautiful wife, who I'm so blessed to have and travels with me everywhere with our children. She's not only an anointed mother, she's an anointed teacher. She's an anointed woman of God, and I couldn't do any of this without her. Amen. She's a blessing. She's got two beautiful daughters that we've had, and she's got a third one on the way that we don't know what it is yet. Hallelujah. But she's a blessing. Hallelujah. And so my wife and I have made a pact, if you will, with each other. And she understands it very well, and I understand it very well. See, when your first love, your true love, is God, then all of your decisions and your priorities are based around your love for Him. And so she knows very clearly, I would never do anything for her that I haven't done much more for the Lord first. I'll tell you that what that means practically. I can't imagine going out and buying something for her that I haven't given that amount, at least that amount, in an offering plate. Thanks for all the shouts. But people don't think like this in our generation. I would not go out and spend $2,000 on a watch for myself if I'd never given the Lord $2,000. You know what that is? Foolish. I would never go out and spend $1,000 on a suit if I'd never given God $1,000 or much more. Because what you do, what you release your money to, shows where your love is. Hallelujah. Where a man's treasure is, there shall his heart be also. And so you have to realize, when you put God first, He will put things in your life that other people are dying to get. But because you put the kingdom first, but because you put His righteousness first, all these things will be added. Somebody shout amen. We're very clear on this fact that we wouldn't do anything for ourselves. We wouldn't even think to do something for ourselves if God had not gotten that. That's what makes me laugh. You go around today in our generation, and you've got people that don't think a thing about dropping $800, $1,200 on a flat screen that they want. If they came to church and someone challenged them to give $1,200, what does a church need that kind of money for? I mean, my God. Huh? They don't think of it. People that come in with a crumpled up $5 bill, $20 bill in their hand, and they'll drop 10 times that much at lunch with their family on a Sunday afternoon. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, the devil has worked hard to get the mentality of the church to think that they should do less for God and more for themselves. But when you come to the realization that He's the one that deserves it all, hallelujah. Somebody came to Brother Shambach one time. If you ever remember old Brother Shambach, he was a great healing evangelist. He went on to be with the Lord a couple years ago. But a man came up to him after the service and said, Brother Shambach, I don't know if I believe in that tithing thing, that giving God 10%. He said, I don't think I believe in it. And he said, I don't think that's new covenant. He said, Brother Shambach looked right at him and said, Brother, you're right. He said, that's not. He said, in the new covenant, everything you have belongs to the Lord. The man jumped back. He said, I believe I'll pay my tithes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In this covenant, everything we have is God's. We're just blessed to be stewards of it. Can you say amen? And when you sow into the kingdom, what you're doing by obedience is you're saying, I refuse to have a down season. I refuse to have a down time. I refuse. You know, as we come to the closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus, one thing I want you to see in prophecy is the Bible says that the plowman will overtake the reaper. The plowman will overtake the reaper. You know what that means? That as we get closer and closer to the coming, stand up and stand right here. I'll just use you as an example real quick. Look at this man, and we'll say from here that Mike is the return of the Lord Jesus. He's the rapture. As we get closer and closer to the rapture, do you know what that means? God has less and less time to answer our prayers and to bring our harvest back to us from seeds we've sown. So what you're going to see as we get closer and closer is your blessing is going to come quicker and quicker. Your prayers are going to get answered quicker and quicker. Because God didn't say he was going to give you your harvest in heaven. He didn't say he was going to answer your prayers in heaven. He said he'd do it here on the earth. And as we get closer and closer to this time, the time span we have to get it back is closing in, which means get ready for expedited blessings. Hallelujah. Get ready for God to do something quick. A quick work. Can you shout amen? Thank you. As pastor's getting ready to come and pray with you, let me just share this story. My grandfather was a preacher for 65 years. And he was in the Assemblies of God, traveled, pastored churches all over America. And they had a theory back then. Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. And they did their part, he said. Amen. And so he was living. He had four sons. And his mother-in-law lived with him for most of his life. So he had a house to feed, people to take care of. Well, he was pastoring in West Virginia. And when he was, they lived underneath a farm. And so up the hill was a farm. And they had a whole coop full of chickens. And so as he was there, their salary at the church was not much. And so my grandmother was praying, believing God to send them food to eat or some way to get food for the kids and for the family. And she said she looked out her back window one day. She said she saw all those chickens come out of the coop of that farm and march in a straight line right down the hill and come right into their little shed. And she said she saw them as she's washing dishes stay in the shed for a while, and then they marched right back up the hill into their coop again. And she walked out to the shed and looked inside, and there were all these dozens of eggs that those chickens had laid inside the thing. And she thought, well, my grandmother is a holiness woman. I mean, she makes the UPC look like they're carnal. I mean, that's how holiness she is. And so she went up to, she said, I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not stealing these eggs. That's their chickens. So she put them in a basket. She walked them up the hill and knocked on the door of the lady that was the farmer's wife. She answered her, said, yeah, can I help you? And she said, yeah, I just wanted you to know your chickens came down the hill and laid all these dozens of eggs in our shed down there. They're your eggs. She said, my chickens? She said, yeah, your chickens. I watched them do it. She said, no, it couldn't have been mine. She said, we can't get those things to lay eggs. She said, we've tried everything we can try, and we can't get those things to lay eggs. So she said, if you got them, they're your eggs. So she took them right back down the hill, all those dozens of eggs, and she cooked them up for the family, and they had food. She said, every week, like clockwork, those chickens would come down the hill, go right into her shed and lay dozens of eggs and go right back up the hill again and into their coop. And she said, as long as they lived there, every week like clockwork, they'd come down and provide the eggs. She said, then the Assemblies of God moved them away to another church. And she said, finally, they came back years later to that place. And she said, you know, I'm going to go back to that farm and asked the lady about those chickens. And she went back, and the lady was still living there. She said, hey, Sister Shuttlesworth. She said, how are those chickens that you had? She said, you know, it's the funniest thing. She said, when you moved away, she said, they never one more time went down that hill into that shed and laid another egg. She said, the last time they laid eggs for you was the last time they ever laid eggs. And see, I want to show you something, that it doesn't matter how God has to get the blessing to you, he'll get the blessing to you. When he led the prophet next to the river, he said, here comes some ravens to bring you morsels of bread. I don't care if every bank in America shuts down. I don't care if the federal government closes every Federal Reserve and the ATM shut down. If God has to send a raven with a Big Mac in his mouth to your house, that's what's coming to your house. Can you shout amen? If God has provided blessing for you, there's no man that will hold it back. Somebody shout, I will control my own seasons by my sowing. And so as Pastor David comes, he's going to lead you in a prayer, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to every one of us. Can you say amen? And when he does, the key for us is to react to the voice of the Holy Ghost. And when we do, I found this out a long time ago. You know, there's people who probably write a book, 27 Ways to Be in the Lane of Prosperity or whatever. I heard the Lord say this to me years ago. He said, there's one key, if you want to know what it is, to being blessed for the rest of your life. He said, you'll find it in John chapter 2. The words of the mother Mary to the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. Ooh, hallelujah. He said, whatever he saith unto you, do it. So when you want to walk in that blessing, whatever you hear from the Holy Ghost, that is what you do. And the blessing comes from it. Can you say amen? So let's bow our heads. Pastor, you can come and pray and receive this. But I feel there's an anointing in here. Pastor, come and do that. I feel an anointing.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us right now. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who speaks. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you can impress upon our heart. We might not hear, and we probably won't hear an audible voice, but you can make it clear right on the inside, right in our heart, exactly what you would have us to do. Lord, not only to be a blessing to Miracle Word Ministries, but, Lord, to set us up for our harvest, to set us up for our blessing, to set us up for our victory. Lord, we thank you for it tonight, and we purpose right now in the name of Jesus that whatever you say to us, thank you for speaking. Whatever you say to us, Lord, we will do. We will gladly obey in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, let's do that. Let's obey the Lord. Raise your hand. If you need an envelope, if you're writing a check, make it out to City on a Hill Church. When you fill out your envelope where it says, get the line that says guest speaker, the line out beside that, write the amount of that line. We're not taking up a church offering tonight.
Time tonight real quickly and tell you, we released this book. It's called Praise, Laugh, Repeat, Living in the Power of Overwhelming Joy. And I'll tell you, this is something that really has been working hard on my heart for the last couple of years because I was getting so tired of going to these student ministries that I was doing, these youth camps and things for college age, and seeing so many people battling chronic depression, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, fear, taking all these medications to get free from this stuff. I didn't remember that going on when I was in high school, I mean, which wasn't too long ago. But now they tell us one out of every three Americans is on an antidepressant. And it's an attack against against us from the enemy, where the Bible says that a merry heart is like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And all these things that doctors are now even attributing to stress and anxiety and panic and depression, it's affecting people's bodies. It's affecting their relationships. People are being divorced because of it. And it's an attack. And the Lord began to give this in my spirit, put it in and download it to me. And it came out like a river. And this is available in the back. And then, as I was fasting and praying, the Lord continued to give me information on this. So I said, Lord, what I'll do, I put it into a devotional form. So we have a 40-day devotional that goes along with this book, Praise, Laugh, Repeat. And both of those are available. I think normally they'd be about $28 or so together. But if you'd like to have them both, you can have them both for $20. They're back on the table there, as well as CDs. They'll be a blessing to you. Check out what we got. It'll touch you. But God's going to do something tonight, I believe, for every physical body. When I was praying for you today, the Lord had me praying to release every form of wickedness that would touch you. Now, see, most people don't understand. They think sickness is just something that comes with life. Well, you know, sometimes life hands you lemons. But see, if you study the Word of God, God treated every case he found of sickness, disease, every evil thing that touched his people, he treated it as an enemy. Hallelujah. And see, what happens many times is people come to terms with what they have and they accept it as though, you know, sometimes these things come in life. And sometimes people don't even know if it's God that sent it. And so they don't know whether to reject it or whether to accept it. And the enemy's got people confused as to how they should treat what's come to their life. But I want you to know, let's start off the bat, and you should know by now, it is never God's desire that people be sick. It is never God's desire that people have disease. It is never God's desire that people be weakened or afflicted or tormented. God is a good God, and the devil is a bad devil. The easiest theology lesson you'll ever hear, God is good and the devil is bad. And the sad thing is that in our churches throughout America and around the world, people have got it mixed up. When people get sick, people say, well, God made them sick for his glory. And then when people get healed, some denominations tell you, that's the devil at work over there. Don't go over there. So they've got God making people sick and the devil healing them. They've got it all turned around. But understand, God is good and the devil is evil. And there's nothing the devil will do in your life that'll ever be good. And there's nothing that God will ever do in your life that'll be bad. Hallelujah. For the Bible declares in the book of James, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, which means God doesn't change his mind about how he feels about you. He doesn't love you one day, hate you the next day. No, his plans for you are always good plans. In fact, Jesus said, which of you? He said, even you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. Then he asked a question. He said, which of you, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? He said, or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a serpent? That's a wonderful dinner, isn't it? Stones and snakes. What are we having for dinner tonight? Stones and snakes. No? He said, no, you don't. He said, even earthly fathers give good gifts to their children. You know, when Christmas comes around, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. But can I tell you something? It's not just Christian parents buying presents for their kids. Everybody that loves their children is buying presents for their children. And see, he said, your earthly fathers, you know this. It's a principle even you live by. He said, now think on a higher level. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that belong to him? Hallelujah. So if you're a child of the King, then you've got some benefits afforded to you from the Spirit of God. And one of those benefits that's very clear in Scripture is the divine healing power of God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now I will say to you this, and I believe it firmly. Divine healing is different than natural healing. Divine healing is different than man-made healing. And so I thank God. Once again, for those that do work to help humanity, I thank God for doctors and nurses and those that try to help the hurting. But they are not operating in divine healing. Thanks for the shouts. Amen. People had to think that one over for a minute. But listen to me. I'll prove it to you. Because if God, who is no respecter of persons, if he used doctors and nurses to heal people, then anybody who ever went to a doctor or nurse would have to receive their healing, or God was having respect for certain people and not for others. In fact, you'll find a woman in the Bible in Mark chapter 5, and the Bible said she'd spent all she had on doctors and nurses and health care, and she had gotten nothing better but grew all the more worse. And so there's a case in the Word right there where God did not work through a doctor or a nurse or through medication. Well, does that mean God didn't love that woman? No. It just means, now think of it another way. The Bible says that God, our God, is a jealous God. Now, do you know what that means? It means that he wants all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. The Bible says in another passage, he will not share his glory with any man. So let me ask you a question. When you go to the doctor and somebody says, Lord, I pray you just let this surgery work for your glory. Lord, guide the doctor's hand as he brings the scalpel down through their skin. Now, when that begins to happen and somebody does better after their surgery or after they have a treatment, who gets the glory? God or the doctor and medication? See, God will not share his glory. Divine healing is different than man-made healing. I believe the only way that doctors operate in divine healing is when they're Christians and lay their hands on the sick and watch them recover. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And we need to understand that even though there are natural methods and means to be healed, that right now that healthcare is a business in this country. Doctors are not looking to cure the cause. They're looking to treat the symptoms. They're looking to make money, because if you look at what's going on in this world right now, there's a reason that poverty has never gone away and never will go away. The reason is too many people make money off of poverty. Hallelujah. There's too many people taking kickbacks when everybody raised money to send to Haiti after the earthquake. Can I tell you, a very little percentage of that actually did any good. The UN kept, you can read the reports now, the UN kept a large amount of money back for themselves. See, people are making money on poverty. People are making money on health care, and they're not looking. You know, think about it logically. What's better for the hospital? If they deal with the root cause of your problem on your first visit and you never come back again, or if they treat your symptoms and you come back 20 times and they get the money from your insurance company? It's all a gimmick. It's all a game. But God doesn't play games. God destroys the works of the enemy and everything that holds you bound. God's not trying to get you to come back for 20 different treatments. He wants to heal you of your sickness. He wants to destroy your disease and drive out every evil force that would harass your life in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. So we need to understand that there is a difference between divine healing and man-made healing. And there's an issue because man-made healing can only go so far. What are you going to do when there's something that takes place in your life that doctors have no answer for? What are you going to do when there's no surgery that can help you? There's no medication that can help you. And maybe you get to the place where your insurance company drops you and you don't have the money to pay for what you need. It's dangerous to depend on the arm of flesh. I know this doesn't get a lot of shouting in America because everybody likes to lay back onto what they've been able to rely on for so long. But you need to understand we're coming to the day very soon with the way this world is going that we're going to need to depend only on the arm of God. Because you look at the way this Antichrist system is going right now, they are contriving everything they can. Many of the things that are happening in the world are happening just to get money out of the American people. There are things that are released. I was at a Walmart the other day, and I was going through just shopping, and the guy was like a car salesman in the pharmacy department. He said, hey, got some good vaccine. You looking for a flu shot? We've got some great models out this year. He said, are you in the market? He actually asked me, are you in the market for a flu shot? I said, no, I'm waiting for next year's model. I'm not in the market for a flu shot. I'm not looking for the arm of man to help me because there's something living on the inside of my body. There's something in my bloodstream, hallelujah, that causes every evil thing to be pushed out of my body, that causes to be pushed out of my house and pushed out of my family. What is it? It's the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. And when that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. Woo! Hallelujah. Shout yes. There's a quickening power. When I was praying on Sunday morning, I heard those three words: healings, refreshings, quickenings. Healings, refreshings, quickenings. And I believe God's going to do it for each and every one of us. And see, we need to realize there's a power that's greater than the power of man. It's dangerous to depend on men because they can only help you so far. But God, you'll never come up against an obstacle or a problem or an issue that's too big for him. Now listen, I've heard people say, well, brother, if you only knew what I was going through. It don't matter. Let me ask you a question. Are you dead? Because if you're not dead, it's still not too hard for God. I mean, if you look, I'm getting ready to show you in John chapter 11. Where did I have you turn anyway? John where? 11? I tell you John 11? Well, let's go there. John 11. You'll see from the Word of God. Now, I'll give you testimonies tonight that'll stir your faith, and I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to touch you. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I believe every person in here is going to leave with a touch tonight. Amen. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people, now listen, we in America, people have overused the word amen. Some people don't even know what it means anymore. But it's not just something we say to end a prayer. It is a declaration that what was just released, I receive it, let it be, and I appropriate it in my life in Jesus' name. So tonight when I'm preaching, when you receive what I'm preaching to you and you shout amen, you're grabbing that thing and saying it's mine in Jesus' name. Can you shout amen? Amen. Now, in John chapter 11, I want you to see this story because Jesus himself, who is the healer, hallelujah, Jesus is the healer. He hears about a dear friend of his named Lazarus who's fallen ill unto death, the Bible says. And verse 1, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he who you love is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, my family's been to the Holy Land, and they tell me they've looked at this traveling that Jesus did from where he was to where Lazarus was. And they said that if you walked at a slow pace, you could get from where Jesus was to where Lazarus was in just a few hours. It was not a two-day, three-day journey, and Jesus purposely stayed back where he was. And the Bible says that when he got there and when he finally what made the journey to where Lazarus was, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now, the reason, many people say, why did Jesus wait so long? Let me tell you what I know about Jesus if you study his life and his ministry. Jesus was always looking for a situation to provide revelation. Write this in your notes. Jesus was always looking for a situation to provide revelation. What does that mean? About who he is, about what he is. In fact, God and what he does, see, if you look through the Old Testament, God was named and defined by his actions. Woo, hallelujah. That's why one name wasn't enough for him. They called him Jehovah, Most High God, but that wasn't enough. Because when he began to move and show himself mighty, they began to give him compound names to describe his goodness. And so they said, hey, he's not just Jehovah, he's also Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us. Hallelujah. And when they thought that was all he was, then they began to show him, it showed through Abraham, I'm also the Lord who will provide for you. And so he said, he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hallelujah. He wasn't just a healer. And he wasn't just a provider. He got to the place where they were all battling, and that he wanted to know, I'm the God that will bring peace to your mind. Even in times of worry, when people come up against you, when things don't look like they're lining up, I'm going to come right in where you are and show myself as Jehovah Shalom, the God of your peace. Hallelujah. One name was not enough to describe our God, because he's so good, they had to keep on naming him over and again. And he was always looking for a situation to provide revelation. Hallelujah. So Jesus stayed where he was for the next few days. Now, I studied this out and found that in some customs of the day, they believed that they had a period of time that if they could wail enough, if they could mourn enough, they believed that your spirit hovered over your body for 3 days. And after 3 days was done, you were truly dead. But they didn't believe you were truly dead until that time had gone by. And so Jesus said, I'm going to wait here and let them do every religious ritual they can think of so that when I finally show up and when I do what my Father has anointed me to do, nobody can say it was a coincidence. Nobody can say, well, maybe that was just something that we did when he showed up was just, no. He said, I'm going to let them do everything they know how to do. I'm going to make sure they're down to their last point and their last end of the rope with no other hope. Hallelujah. Because when God gets ready to move, he's going to take all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Can you say amen? See, some of you, you've been struggling for years, and you've been believing for God to move. God's going to touch you by his power, and when he does, he's the only one that's going to get the glory. Hallelujah. And he said he showed up, and in John chapter 11, the Bible declares he showed up to where Lazarus was. And when he showed up, the Bible says one sister stayed in the house, and the other sister ran out of the house. Martha came to greet him, and Mary stayed to mourn. How you react to the presence of Jesus will determine your outcome. How you react when the presence of God shows up determines the fruit of your life. And Martha ran out and began to talk to him. He said, why are you upset? Don't you believe your brother's going to rise again? And Martha said to him, oh, Lord, of course I believe. He's going to rise in the resurrection. And Jesus had to correct her. He said, girl, don't you realize who you're looking at? I am the resurrection and I am the life. Hallelujah. One thing I want you to see today is that the resurrection is not a date on the calendar. The resurrection is a person and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout yes. The resurrection is a person and he's living in us today. The same Spirit that brought him out of the grave can do whatever God needs to be done in your life. It doesn't matter if arthritis needs to be driven out of your body. It doesn't matter if type 2 diabetes has come into your body and your pancreas is not performing like it's supposed to. When that quickening power of the Holy Spirit comes into your body and touches you, everything the enemy used against you has to be destroyed by the power of the Holy Ghost. The issue with religion is that we've just learned to keep people in prayer for 16 years. But see, there's not a scripture you'll read in the Bible that says when you come across people that are sick, put them on the prayer list and remember them in prayer. I don't even know what that means. I'm going to remember you in prayer. I don't know what that means. Sitting there praying, oh, Father, oh, also I remember him. He's not doing that well. Praise God. Let's keep on going. No. There's not a scripture you'll find where Jesus, people came to him for a touch, and he said, oh, we'll remember you in prayer. We'll keep you in prayer. No, Jesus located the problem, found out what was wrong, treated it like an enemy, and destroyed it by his mighty power. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. See, the issue is in our generation that we're all so busy to go nowhere that we won't entertain the presence of the Lord. Got to get out of here. I got to go get something to eat. Hope church ends quick. I got to get home and watch Netflix. I got 17 shows I'm trying to get through. And then I got to go watch a movie. And then I got to get home and talk to somebody on the computer. And we're so quick to move around that we don't entertain the presence of the Lord. It's no wonder to me that church has become a religious ritual. And it's no longer a meeting place of the Holy Ghost. Everybody's so busy to go nowhere that they can't. It's funny to me that people can go to the movies and watch Bilbo bring a ring back to Mordor for 3.5 hours and can't sit in a church for 1.5 hours without going to the bathroom 13 times. In the theater, they're sitting there getting ready to have a bladder burst in the theater. They've drank 3 large Cokes and eaten 6 bags of popcorn, and they won't move out of their seat because they want to see the battle scene. But they can't sit in the house of God and listen to the Word of God for 1.5 hours without getting up and down 32 times. You've got to get yourself disciplined to say, what do I want? Do I want to be entertained, or do I want a breakthrough from the Holy Ghost to get something that no man can bring to me? No doctor can bring it to me. No financial planner can bring it to me. I want the quickening power of the Holy Ghost to break me out. Woo! Hallelujah. As you can tell, I get a little excited. I can't stand up here and pretend like I'm not excited about what God's doing. Come on, give you 3 little points and give you a poem, send you home. And when it went down to 1 footprint set in the sand, it was because I was carrying you. Give me a break. Meanwhile, people need a touch from heaven. People need a breakthrough. And we're going through the motions in America. Cattle calls in and out in 1 hour. Nobody's getting touched. Seeker sensitive crap. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If Paul said dung, I'll say crap. It's the same thing. Amen. That's what it is. Seeker sensitive movement, so people can sit in a church for 1 hour and hear a rock and roll song, go home, and none of them have ever changed because there's no convicting power in the atmosphere. So what is it? What good does it do that you clock in and clock out and come to church just so you can say you go to church and you're still on the way to hell because they won't even preach against sin? Thanks for all the shouts. But I'm not running for anything and I'm not running from anything. Y'all hear me tonight? Hallelujah. I made up in my mind it might make people mad. I'll preach, but the Bible says the gospel preached is an offense unto many. So as my father said, I feel my job is to offend as many as I can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to get back to the basics of needing the Holy Ghost again and coming after his presence again. Praying until there's a breakthrough. Praising until you sweat the suit and dress up. Some people have gotten so dignified they forgot where God brought them from. But if you'd break loose and praise him again like you used to praise him, the presence of God inhabits the praises of his people. And God will bless you if you'll come back into his presence again. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. The Bible says he showed up and told Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Y'all still offended that I said crap? Is that okay? You all right? Don't have a heart attack. My God. 13 of you just said worse than that when someone cut you off on the way to church tonight. Come on. And the Bible says, I can't believe you'd say it in church. The Bible says he showed up. Martha runs out. He said, I am the resurrection. You're looking at the life. You're looking at the resurrection. Don't wait for the day to come. The resurrection's here tonight. Whatever in your body needs to be resurrected, it can be resurrected tonight. Somebody shout amen. Woo! Glory to God. I said glory to God. He said, where have you laid him? They brought him to the spot. He's in that tomb. He said, roll the stone away. Some of us need to learn how to get the things blocking our miracle out of the way. Get it out of the way. Some people, there's stuff blocking their miracle. They can't get to what God has for them because they have things sitting in their life that are too comfortable, and I don't want to inconvenience myself to move them out of the way so I can get what God has for me. And you have to be able to learn how to identify the things in your life that are holding you back from your miracle. Some of us, it's the relationships we keep in our life. And there's always somebody the enemy sends to make you feel pitiable in your situation. Oh, well, isn't it, look what you're going through. Oh, isn't it so sad? But you got the strength to carry on. Huh? There's always that person. Trust me, I've done this so long and been around this for so long, it's like you get the same person with the same spirit but a different face in every city. And they come up and they, oh, well, you know, if you don't get it tonight, it's okay. The Lord still loves you and you're going. And everywhere you go, there's always that person who enables the sickness, enables the disease, enables the affliction, enables the stuff. And that's a person sent from the enemy to keep you in bondage. But you got to learn how to roll the stone away and say, no, no, that's not me. I'm not sticking around with this thing. This is not my sickness. It's not my disease. Jesus took it onto his body and he said, it belongs to me. Today I will destroy it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you begin to realize you cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Can you shout hallelujah? Roll the stone away. Get everything blocking your miracle out of your way. Everything that would hold you back and hinder you, move it out of your way. See, the issue is exactly what they said in the word. Lord, surely by now he stinks. And there might be some stinking stuff hiding in your life that you don't want to move stuff around because you realize once you reveal it, once you expose it, people realize that thing stinks. But until you get to that place, you don't have the opportunity to speak to it and tell it to get up in Jesus' name. Woo, hallelujah. I was preaching up in Sussex, New Brunswick in Canada. And there was a woman came in. And she had never been to church in her entire life. And somebody invited her to the revival. And when she came in, she heard the gospel preached. And she gave her heart to Jesus. And when she was done, she heard it was going to be a healing service. She ran down into the basement of the church. And she grabbed her son. And she ran him back upstairs. He was 6 years old. His name was Timothy. And this is what I liked about her, that she'd never been to church once, so she didn't have any bad doctrine in her spirit at all. Nobody had told her anything about it's God's will for your son to be sick or anything. She just heard, if the preacher said we're going to have miracles, we're going to have miracles. And she ran him up, and she said, hey, preacher, I want you to pray for my son. He's been blind in his right eye for 5 years. And I thought to myself, we couldn't have started with the hangnails or the coughs. There was nobody, there's no warm-up prayers we can do tonight, you know. And it was the first one off the bat, blind in one eye. And so I laid hands on that young man. And I'd been fasting and praying, asking God to do next-level miracles in Jesus' name. And I began to lay hands on. I said, in Jesus' name, I command this eye to come open by the power of the Holy Ghost. When I took my hand off his little eye, he looked up at me with a brand new eye, and he said, I can see you. And so just in case any Methodist snuck into the church, I went to the other side, and about 30 paces away, I said, now cover up your old good eye. And he covered it up like this. I said, now you do everything you see me do. And I began to lift up fingers like this. And he began to lift up his little fingers and match what I was doing. When his mother saw that, she collapsed on the ground and began to weep to see that Jesus in one instant would do something that doctors couldn't do in a lifetime. And his eye came open and he was healed by the power of God. Now, he had little glasses because his other eye was still a little bad. But the pastor told me that that little boy went to school with his little kids. And they said the next morning they saw him going through to the bus stop. And his little friends were saying, hey, Timothy, where are your glasses at? And he was testifying, I don't need them. Jesus healed me last night in the revival service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God will put a testimony in your hand. Can you shout amen? I was telling Pastor, we were out preaching in North Carolina. And it was a supernatural thing that had never happened to me before. Somebody contacted me on Facebook. I had never met him in my life, didn't know him. We didn't have any mutual friends. But he said, I was praying, Brother Ted. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're the guy that's supposed to come to our church and hold a revival for breakthrough. And so I prayed about it. I felt the release to go. So we got the information. We went. But he called me on the phone. And when he called me, I thought he was playing a trick on me or a joke, because when I talked to him, he was stuttering so bad on the phone like Elmer Fudd. I thought it was like a joke. I thought he was playing, seeing if I would say anything. I'm glad I didn't, because he really did have a severe stutter. Took him about 30 seconds to say one sentence. And so he was I'm thinking to myself, man, this guy pastors the church and has to preach every Sunday morning. So I didn't know if his messages took, you know, four times longer. Because there are some people, they'll have that. And when they're ministering and in the anointing, it won't be there. And when they come out of the anointing, it comes back again. And so he's sitting there and he's telling me this stuff. Well, I show up at the church. And one night we had a prayer service and a miracle service. And so I began to, after I preached, I started laying hands on people. I said, go ahead and line up. I mean, they were lined up around the building to be prayed for. And the first girl I was there to pray for was a little blonde-haired girl. She was about 17 years old. And she was completely deaf in one ear, 100% deaf. And she'd lost about 70 to 80% of her hearing in the other. So she had a hearing aid over here, but she didn't even bother wearing one in this ear because she was completely deaf. But I put my fingers in her ears, and I commanded that deafness to come out in Jesus' name. And when I took my fingers, I said, come out. When I did that, she let out a scream, and her face got all red, and the hearing instantly came back in both ears. But what I saw that was awesome, the pastor was standing on the front row watching the whole thing. And when he saw that young girl get her hearing back instantly, he cut everybody in the line off and jumped in the front of the line. And he lifted his hands like this. He said, pray for me, Brother Ted. He said, I got a tumor behind my eardrum on this side, and I can't hear a thing. He said, pray for me. God will open my ear too. So I put my hands on his ears. I said, in Jesus' name, I command that tumor to dissolve by the power of the Holy Ghost and come out in Jesus' name. And when I did, I put my faith jumped in me. I put my hand on his mouth like that. I said, Lord, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, burn that stutter out of his mouth as well. When I got finished praying for him, like, you know, if you left a tea kettle on the stove for too long and that thing's whistling, he let out a whistle like, whoo, just like that, and took off running around the church. But this is the funniest thing, and I tell you every word of this is the absolute truth. When he came back down, he ran down the center aisle, and I'm already praying for people, and he's shouting and giving God praise. He ran up on the platform and grabbed up one of the singer's microphones and came right out to the edge like he was going to preach a message, and I'm laying hands on the crowd, and he starts going, I'm going to have a salad with Italian dressing, just like that. And I looked at his wife on the front row. I said, is he hungry? Do we need to get him a snack or something? And she said, no, Brother Ted, he's saying all the stuff he wasn't able to say before. All the tongue twisters, all the tongue tire things. And he got healed him. Not only did his ear come open, but God took his stutter away by the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, you got to find out where the problem is and don't ignore it. You've got to address it and say, in the name of Jesus, you're coming out tonight and you're not coming back in Jesus' name. And there's nothing the devil can do to destroy your life. You don't have a crisis, you have a Christ. You don't have a crisis, you have a Christ. You don't have a crisis, you have a Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I was up in the outside of Boston, Massachusetts. This was just last year. And I was finished preaching the service. I was finished ministering to people. And I had already gotten ready to go. I was just greeting a few people at the altar. And I was getting ready to leave the church. And a father came down with tears in his eyes. He said, "Brother Ted, would you pray for my daughter?" I said, "I'd be happy to." And so he brought her down to the front. And he said, "Here she is." She was about 17 years old. I didn't ask what was wrong with her. I didn't ask the details of her diagnosis. I didn't know anything. I just laid hands on her real quickly and said, "God, heal her in Jesus' name." And then I left. I said, "God bless you guys." And I left. And the next morning, he texted the pastor and said, "I need to get a hold of that evangelist. I want to tell him the miracle that took place in my daughter." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, here's what you need to know." He said, "Since she was a little girl," he said, "she was in gymnastics and she sprained her ankle. And when she did, this disease came into her body, a nerve disease. And then it began to spread through her entire body." He said, "By this time," she's 17 now, he said, "the only place in her body that she doesn't have severe pain 24 hours a day is the right side of her face." She said, he said, that she constantly is in severe pain. He said, "Brother Ted, you don't know what it's like. I have to carry around my 17-year-old daughter like a baby." He said, "And the doctor said there's nothing we can do to take the pain away." He said, "They give us medicated pads to put on her skin to numb the nerves." He said, "They'll tell us to put her in a hot bath and then into an ice-cold bath back and forth." He said, "But when we take those pads off of her at night, at the end of the day," he said, "if you were our neighbors, you'd have thought we were torturing our daughter. She screamed so loud." He said, "It was just the most horrible thing." He said, "Then when we were," he said, "to add insult to injury, when we were trying to figure all this out, we took her to the Boston Children's Hospital to find out what was going on, and they did an MRI of her body." He said, "When they did," he said, "this wasn't the cause of the disease, but they also found a brain tumor in her head." He said, "Now she's crushed, got her whole life in front of her, but now she's got a severe disease and a brain tumor." He said, "It looked like it was the darkest day ever." He said, "But when you prayed for her last night," he said, "you didn't even ask what was wrong." He said, "But we went home, and she got up this morning, the next day." He said, "She just woke up for the first time in 10 years with zero pain in her body." Hallelujah. He said, "And she was so excited." He said, "She was bouncing around the house completely free of pain." He said, "So we wanted to see what God did." So he took her back again to the Boston Children's Hospital. And he said, "They kept us in the hospital. And they did test after test after test on her body." He said, "Now they told us we can't find any trace of that nerve disease in her body." He said, "But there's an interesting thing," they told me. He said, "When we did the MRI again on her body," he said, "by the way, Father," he said, "there's no more brain tumor in her head." Hallelujah. God didn't just take the nerve disease away, but he removed the brain tumor from her brain. There's nothing God can't do for you. There's nothing God can't do for you. I tell you, there's a power to heal. There's a power to deliver. There's no other God that can do what our God does. There's no other power that can do what his power can do. Whatever you need tonight, whatever you're believing God to do, he's going to do it. Can you shout amen? I'll tell you one more before I finish and pray for you. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma last year, and I was preaching in the church, and in came a group of people, a family, and as I was preaching, a whole row of people's talking. And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, Lord, have mercy. I know I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I'm better than that." Amen. I mean, they didn't shut up the whole time. Well, I found out later that it was a Mexican family, and none of them spoke English, not a word of English. And so somebody was translating my message to them for the whole service. And the woman came down after the service was over, and through the translator, her name was Maria, she said, "I want you to pray for me. I believe you're a man of God. I don't go to this church, but I heard there was a miracle service here." And she said, "I'm going to the hospital tomorrow because I have a brain tumor, and they're going to tell me when they can operate on my brain and take the tumor out." And so she said, "But I believe if you'll pray for me that God will heal me and that I'll be made whole." And so I laid hands on her right at God's altar, and I commanded that tumor to dissolve and to leave her brain in Jesus' name. And when I finished praying, she said, "Thank you very much," and she left. Sunday night came, she didn't come back. Monday night came. She didn't come back. I'm thinking, good Lord, I don't know what's happened to this woman. Tuesday morning, we had day service. She didn't come back. And at night, she came back on Tuesday night with a big smile on her face. I said, Lord, there's got to be a testimony here. I want to hear this story. She came down and told me. She said, sorry, I haven't been back. They've kept me at the hospital for a day and a half. She said, they're running test after test. She said, because when they went in to give me a surgery date, they took another x-ray of my head to find the proper positioning. She said, and then they got confused and thought their machinery was broken. So she said they kept me in there and kept recalibrating the machine and taking another x-ray. But she said the more x-rays they took, the more confused they got, because the tumor that was there before is no longer there in my brain. Hallelujah. And she got excited about it. She said, I'm so excited. She said, I want to do something for the church. I said, just give God praise. He's the one that does it. She said, I have, but I want to do something else. She said, so for the final night, I'm going to cook for everybody in the church. Hallelujah. Ooh, I felt a blessing come when she said that. And she said, I'm going to bring in dinner for everybody. And so the final night of that meeting, we had baked, we had tortillas, we had arroz con pollo, we had fajitas, we had burrito. I mean, it was like a Holy Ghost smorgasbord in there. We were eating it up. And so the power of God touched her and made her completely whole. Because there is nothing that can happen to you that God cannot do something about it. There's nothing that can happen to you that God can't do something about it. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with tonight. Stretch your faith out. I know sometimes it looks hard and dark because people give you bad reports. And they say there's nothing that can be done. And if you listen to that, then you get to the place where you say, well, you know what? This happens to everybody, and you just got to learn to roll with the punches. But let me encourage you tonight that no matter what a doctor has told you, no matter what you've gotten in a medical report, there's another report that you can believe. It is the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. His report says you're healed. His report says you're made whole. His report says no weapon formed against you can be allowed to prosper. Hallelujah. And so you've got to come to the place in your life where you ask yourself the question, whose report am I going to believe? Listen, I refuse, and you should refuse, to go through the same issues and have the same crisis as people who don't have a Redeemer. You are not called to have the same problems and the same issues and the same stuff go on as people who don't have a healer and people who don't have a Redeemer. We should be head and shoulders above the rest, because we have a man named Jesus Christ who sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us, who broke the curse. Hallelujah. He's a curse breaker. I said, he's a curse breaker. How can they curse what God has blessed? Woo, glory to God. You can't curse what God has blessed. Huh. Woo, glory. I feel the anointing in here tonight. God's getting ready to do something good. I said, God's getting ready to do something good. It came down to a personal decision for my wife and I. Because after we held our first tent crusade of our ministry in Charlotte, North Carolina, we were leaving there, and our little daughter that you see running around, now she's almost 6 years old, her name's Madeline, she went from being the most bouncy, jumping around girl, and after that tent meeting was over, she became lethargic, and she began to just lay around. She had energy before, but now she was just moping around, had to be carried everywhere, didn't feel like eating anything, and we knew something was wrong. And when we took her into the doctor to find out what was going on, he came back with a long face and said, I'm sorry, Reverend Shuttlesworth, your daughter has a very rare blood disease. And he began to tell me about Kawasaki's disease. And I said, what is that? Is that like motorcycles riding around in her blood? Or I didn't know what it was. He said, no, it's a very rare blood disease. He said, and it'll affect her heart. And she said, she'll be affected for the rest of her life. She'll have to be on medication for the rest of her life. She'll have to come in for regular heart checkups. She won't be able to play like all the other girls play and run around like they run around. She'll have to be very careful not to overexercise her heart because of this disease that's in her body. And he began to give me that report. Well, you know, when that kind of thing comes to you about your children or about your family, the first thing you do is the devil makes you feel like you're a failure. He comes and says, well, aren't you so special? I thought you were a man of faith. thought you were a man of miracles, thought you were a man of God. How come this is happening to your family? And see, the first thing the devil tries to do is to make you feel like it's your fault that things are going wrong. But you got to realize there's a real enemy out there who's trying to destroy the lives of men and women. The Bible says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. There will never be a time that God allows what you don't allow. I said there will never be a time that God allows what you don't allow. For the Bible declares whatsoever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So you've got to make up your mind. No matter what the enemy attempts to throw at me, I am going to command my life into the blessings of God. Now my wife and I could have just joined our hands and said, I don't know why God's allowing this to happen. Maybe it's because that she'll be a help to the kids that have this disease. Maybe she'll just be a testimony about how you can go through with strength and power. And he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that the road would not be. Huh? And this is what we've got going on in the body of Christ. People teaching other people how to just live with their issues, live with their problems, live with their disease, live with their sickness, but continue to bring the glory to God because he gives me the strength to go through it. No, he gives you the strength to destroy it by his mighty power. And so we didn't sit around and say, well, we'll just see. This just must be God's will. We began to fast and pray and declare, devil, you can't have my baby. Devil, you can't have my daughter. You can't have our family. I don't care how many weapons are formed against us, they shall not be allowed to prosper. Hallelujah. And as we began to fast and pray, then something began to happen. Things began to change. And the doctors came and said, well, we're going to have to take some blood tests, make some blood tests. I said, go ahead and do everything. You won't find what you're looking for. And they began to do tests. Now they're coming back confused and scratching their head. Well, Mr. Shuttlesworth, we got to do a few more tests because things are inconclusive. And I began to shout ahead of time because I knew what God was already doing. There wasn't going to be one bit of medication she would take home and take for the rest of her life. There wasn't going to be one surgery she'd have to have. And I continued to fast and pray, and so did my wife. And they came back again. Now we're even more worried than before. We can't figure out what's going on. And by the time the story was over, they had to send her home and say, I'm sorry, we can't even diagnose her with one thing because she's absolutely fine and she doesn't need any medication and she doesn't need any surgery. We don't know what happened, but she's all right. Hallelujah. I can tell you what happened. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. Lift your hands and begin to shout amen. Shout unto the Lord. Give him all the praise. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 Woo! No weapon. I said no weapon. So no matter what you're battling tonight, as the worship team's coming back today, I'm going to pray for you. And God's going to touch us. Can you say amen? I feel an anointing here right now. Now, I know we don't go by how we feel, but I can sense an anointing. I said, I can sense the anointing, the healing anointing of God. Can I just say to you, there's never a time God's not willing to heal you. There's never a time. You know, I've heard people say, oh, I feel that this is the season of healing. Let me tell you, the season of healing began when Jesus shed his blood, and it's not going to end. I said, it's not going to end. He is always willing to heal you. He's always willing to touch you. And I believe this moment right now, as the word has gone forth, you now have a good ground to receive your miracle. God does everything by his word. I said he does everything by his word. Glory to God. My brother, stand, lift your hands. There's a supernatural power coming on your body tonight. Take two steps forward. And I tell you, you're getting ready to come into a new season of strength and power. When I lay my hands on you, every attack of the enemy that has tried to restrict your body, that's tried to hold you back, some would say, well, you know, these things happen as you get up in years. But I tell you, you're going to be like Caleb, who said, though I'm 85 today, I'm stronger than when I was 40. Hallelujah. You shall not diminish in strength. You shall increase in strength. You'll not get weaker and weaker. You're going to get stronger and stronger. For there's a fresh anointing coming on your body tonight. I rebuke every attack against your life. I rebuke every harassing force that would try to steal from you supernatural strength. And now as I lay my hands on you, the healing power of God comes. Be made whole in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I rebuke every attack of the enemy. Rebuke every attack of the enemy. Rebuke every attack of the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every attack broken. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, lift your hands. There's an anointing in here. Kabra zende ki pafa. Hey. Marondo ropo shakatehe. Come on, come on, come on. Pej do samarati kenene. Breshte ke pafa. Brokonde de ki bravaza. We worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Somebody, if you need a touch from heaven, lift your hands and receive it. Lift your hands and receive it. Lift your hands and receive it. Ha, ha, ha. I command you to be healed. I rebuke sickness and disease. I rebuke every spirit of weakness that would try to ravage your body. I command you to receive strength from heaven and get better, better, better. Better, better, better. In Jesus' mighty name. Kobo shakatana. In Jesus' mighty name. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. My sister, you have the nice, pretty teal shirt on right here in the front. Stand, if you would. I'm going to pray for you, if you don't mind. Glory to God. I'm so thankful you're here tonight. Tell me your name. Barbara. Barbara, thank you for coming. Just lift your hands to heaven. God's going to touch you tonight. Now, you needed a healing in your body. You need a touch in your body. The enemy has come against you and tried to attack you, and he's trying to take you out and kill you. But I hear the Holy Spirit say that there is a refreshing and a healing touch coming on you tonight. And when the power of God touches you, it's driving every evil thing out of your body. Your blood is going to be healed and your body is going to be restored. Your blood is going to be healed and your body is going to be restored. You believe that? Yes, in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know what effect it's taken in your body, but I heard the Lord say it's her blood that needs a touch. It's her blood that needs a touch. And when the blood is touched, it's going to take away the effects that you're battling. I don't know how these things work. You know why? I'm not a doctor. But I'm just a man of God. Hallelujah. I'd rather be that any day. So when I lay my hands on you, get ready. For the presence of God's coming into your body. And you shall be made whole. Look right at me. You believe I'm a man of God? You believe God's going to touch you tonight? Yeah. Get ready. Get ready. Because it's beginning in the blood. That's what the Lord told me. And so your back will be healed. Your knee will be touched. But get ready, because God's going to touch your blood. Amen. I just go by what the Holy Spirit says to me. Hallelujah. Whew. So when I lay my hands on you, get ready. Because you're going to be strengthened on every part of your body. But that's where it's beginning. Right in the blood. You know what the Bible says? The life is in the blood. So Lord, I lay hands on her now. I command her to be made completely whole. Father, the blood, begin with the blood, make her blood whole. And then, Lord, this back, this knee, repair it, restore it, strengthen it by your power. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive that touch into your body. Hey, receive that touch into your body. From this night forward, you shall never be the same. Never be the same. Never be the same. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I command you to begin to twist and move like you couldn't before and just receive a touch. Twist and move in Jesus' name and receive your touch. Receive your quickening and strengthening from the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. Now what had happened to you? What had happened to you? A lot of things. So you just needed an overhaul. Mm-hmm. You had a surgery on your back and arthritis in the knee. it came back. Well, tonight, God's touching you by his power. Lift your hands. I command this back to receive a full healing in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Your word is true. I command all arthritis to go out of your body in Jesus' mighty name by the power of the Holy Ghost. Be free in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. It's important to go by what the Spirit says. It's important to go by what the Spirit says. Because he knows things we don't know. I don't know everything, but the Lord does. And so many times, if we assume, isn't it interesting? Now, Jesus probably operated with more accuracy than anybody in the Bible. Isn't it interesting when blind Bartimaeus came to him and stood before him? It was very obvious the man was blind. You know what Jesus said to him? What do you want me to do? I learned a long time ago to just follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. I was in Florida ministering, and a woman, I asked for people that needed prayer. She came down, took about 10 minutes to get to the front on a walker with two tennis balls on the front of it. And I thought, well, very obviously, she's crippled and needs to be healed. But I said, you know, I learned the lesson from Jesus. I'm going to ask her what she's believing for. I said, what do you need, sister? You know what she said? I want God to save my niece. That was her prayer. See, her faith was not on her healing. Her faith was in the salvation for her loved one. So if I'd have just gone all out, I'd just command this crippled disease. No, that's not what she came for. So we have to learn to follow the Holy Spirit and do what God says. Can you say amen? Lift your hands all over this place and receive. God's going to touch us now by his power. Brother, let me help you. We'll get a second touch. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Everything that harassed you, I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This is not the end for you. This is not the end for you. This is not the end for you. Not the end for you. Hallelujah. Glory. It's not the end for you. My sister here with the nice shawl, stand on your feet if you would. Come into the aisle. I'm going to pray for you. Now, I'll tell you what I see, that you have a heart to do great things for God. And you have a heart to do things in ministry for God. And he's anointed you and put his anointing on you. And I'll tell you, you're going to do things you never thought you could do or would do. Because God has empowered you to do it. And he's given you the authority and the dominion to do it. And even though maybe people say, well, why her? She doesn't look like she has the credentials to do all these things. But see, it's God that does the choosing. God that does the calling. And there is an anointing on you. And I'll tell you that God's going to empower you tonight to do things you've never done for the kingdom before. And you'll feel almost like you jumped into a new momentum in the Holy Ghost. And the things that in the past seem to have been like a hurt to you, and it seems like it's been something that you've had to deal with mentally. And you say, well, I don't know why I had to deal with those things. God's going to wipe away every pain, every sorrow, every hurt tonight by the power of God. And now he's positioning you to be used by his presence. And he's not going to allow the weight of the things of the past to hold you back from your call and your purpose. You shall do great things for God. You will do great things for God. Ha, 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 ha. Great things for God. And so tonight, you're receiving a refreshing and a quickening in the Spirit. So I lay my hands on you now, and I say, Lord, I loose that quicken and refresh by the power of the Holy Ghost. I command every one of those weights to fall off in Jesus' name. Everything that harassed her in the past, drop off in Jesus' name. And I command the lightness of the Spirit. You'll walk in the lightness of the Spirit. It'll be like weights were lifted off your shoulders, light as a feather in Jesus' name. You'll walk light as a feather in Jesus' name. Woo, glory to God. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just one more moment here as the Spirit is moving. One more moment as the Spirit is moving. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Just take a minute and worship the name that's above every name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Brother, take a third touch tonight. Stand on your feet and lift those hands. Oh, for strength coming into you. Ha, 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 ha. Strength's coming into you in Jesus' name. Ho. Woo, glory to God. Now, this final touch, when I lay my hands on you, the fire of God's jumping into your belly tonight, and it's going to burn every evil thing away. Fire of God come into him tonight. Woo, in Jesus' name, fire of the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Never be the same again. Never be the same. You'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Let's just thank the Lord one more minute. I'm getting ready to pray for every person. But before I do, let's just thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercies. Hallelujah. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. You are good and your mercy endures forever. You are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Sister in the pink shirt here with the skirt, stand on your feet. Come if you would. Now there's an anointing on your life and you already know this because you've sought after the Lord. You have gone after the things of God. And so you already know that's what you're expecting. It's what you're believing God for. But I tell you, what you're not ready for is what's getting ready to hit you in this new year is the greatest anointing you've ever felt. It's the greatest strength you've ever felt. Because God's opening up the floodgates of heaven, and now he's going to pour it out on you. And I tell you, get ready for the greatest seasons of fellowship with the Holy Ghost you've ever had are getting ready to take place in Jesus' name. In your private time, says the Lord, I'm going to meet with you, and I'm going to show you things to come, and I'm going to give you clear direction about the future, because you've said, should I do this? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I transition here? Should I do this? Should I take this path? Should I take that? But the Lord said, I'm going to show you exactly what to do, and you'll not have to wonder, because you'll have clear direction. And in that clear direction and in that surety in the Spirit will come a strength and will come a power that only clear direction can bring. For you'll not be wandering or wondering, but you'll be on a path designed by the Lord. But you'll feel the weight of glory, the weight of glory. It's coming down and it will rest upon you and you'll have the greatest times of fellowship in the Holy Ghost that you've ever had. You'll find yourself, now listen to me, you'll find yourself waking up praying in the Holy Ghost. You'll find yourself, God's going to meet with you at random times, and the presence of God will just rush right in. You'll be driving in the car, and all of a sudden you'll feel a heavy weight of the anointing, and you'll have to pull over to the side of the road and give God praise. There will be times that are a sign from heaven where he will meet with you, and it will be impartation after impartation. And I tell you that what God's positioning you to do will be like nothing you've ever seen. It'll be like nothing you've ever seen. Because I tell you that you will save people from death. I hear the Lord say you'll save them from death. They'll be on the pathway to death. Some of them getting ready to die before their time. But the anointing that's on the inside of you will drive out even every suicidal spirit that has come on people and has come on specifically young ladies, that the enemy would have them try to take their life before their time. But there's an anointing coming on you this night that will destroy that foul spirit of suicide in Jesus' name. So put both hands on your belly, for out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And as I lay hands on you tonight, a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost comes into you and you'll never be the same again. Fire of the Holy Ghost come into her tonight and receive that. That's it. That's a fresh anointing. Fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it now in Jesus' name. All right, stand on your feet if you would all over this place. And let me ask you, with your heads bowed, quickly, before I pray, the Bible says healing's the children's bread. Healing belongs to the children of God. If there's even one person in this place tonight, you say, Brother Ted, listen, there's some things going on in my life in my heart that are not right, I need to make sure that if Jesus were to come back tonight, I'm ready to see him when he comes. I know there's some things in my life that are not right. They're holding me back from serving the Lord. If that's you, right where you're standing, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray with you and believe God. I see it over here. Who else? If there's anybody else, you say, that's me. I want to make sure that I'm ready to see Jesus when he comes. Then lift your hand. We're going to pray. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, lift your hand. We'll pray. I see your hand. Anybody else? Who else? You say, that's me. I want to pray with you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your opportunity tonight. If God's speaking to you, answer the call. Answer the call in Jesus' name. All right, those of you that lifted your hand, I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me. And those of you that need a healing touch in your body, I want you to get out of your seat too and come stand behind them. Come quick. If you need a touch from heaven, come on. If you lift your hand, come quick. Stand right with me here. Come quick, 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 quick. Barbara, come. If you lifted your hand, come. Come on, come on. Yeah, we'll use that in a minute. Those of you that need a touch, come in. Come close. I'm over here. We don't have to form a line because I'm just going to pray this prayer, but then I'm going to lay hands on those of you that need a healing touch, and God's going to restore you and make you whole. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you need that touch, this is your night. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me for every sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Until I die or until you come to get me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, those of you that raised your hand, that was you. You were praying that prayer to make all things new. Before you leave tonight, don't leave without seeing my wife. She's going to give you a gift. And she's going to let you know we love you. And, of course, this church is going to do the same. But I'm going to get ready to pray for you. Worship team, I want you to sing a song of worship as we get ready to minister to every one of these. Those of you that are still sitting in your seat, you may not need a touch in your body tonight. But stretch out your faith and believe for those that do. And let's join together as God touches every one of us. Can you say amen? Now I'm going to come and lay my hands on you. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. You believe that? And tonight's our night to receive. I said it's a receiving night in Jesus' name. So, Father, as we open this prayer line tonight, I pray you do what you've been doing and touch every man and woman. Heal their body, whatever thing has come against them, whatever evil thing has tried to harass them. We rebuke it tonight in Jesus' name and command it to go and don't come back. We thank you for it and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. All right, worship team, begin to sing and worship, and let's begin to pray.
What do you need God to do for you tonight?